Today, I'm really excited about this moment we're going to have. So if we go to this first verse, we're going to jump right into it. We're in John chapter 4, and let's go ahead and click to this next slide. It says, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. If you've been here the last couple weeks, we've been talking about this woman at the well. Everybody would have discounted her, judged her, but Jesus shows up and changes her life. He talks to her when most people wouldn't have. He even starts by asking her for some help. And through her, her entire hometown hears this testimony, which a testimony is just your experience, your story. And her testimony is enough to get this whole town to believe, right? So today, we're going to experience some testimonies, some real-life stories about Jesus. And I'm going to have Judy Rippey actually come up and introduce our first guest. So Judy is going to come up. And Judy teaches with our elementary school students. So Judy, tell us about our first testimony. Who's going to give it?
Hello. Our first testimony is Abe. She is an awesome young lady, and I've seen her grow so much with Christ through Sunday school. It's just, and I asked her if she would like to share, and she said she would, so here she comes.
Yeah, so come on up, Abe. Yeah, excited. So Abe is this awesome, living, walking example of how Jesus gives gifts to people as soon as they accept him, as soon as they follow him. And as soon as you say, Jesus, I want to follow you, you've got some piece of Jesus that you can share. And so, Abe, you've spent some time thinking about the difference between how we normally throw around the word love, or people say, I love this or that, and God's love. So you want to start us off there? What have you learned there?
Well, I have definitely learned many differences between God's love and the love that humans share. So, the difference between God's love and humans' love is that sometimes humans love with their mind, and God loves with his heart.
Yeah. Awesome, yeah. So, yeah, that's worth applause for sure. And tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, humans love many things. Other people, their pets, characters, stuff like that. But God loves one specific thing, us.
Yeah. So, yeah. That's awesome, yeah. So I know in Sunday school the other day with Tracy, you got to share a little bit more about this stuff. Anything else you want to share on God's love?
Well, just that he loves all of us, even if we don't love him back. And sometimes, even if we're in the worst phase of our lives, he still loves us, even though we don't realize it.
Yeah. So that's... So... That's exactly kind of what I was fishing for there, Abe, because I knew you had that thought. And if you didn't hear that, God loves us even when we don't love him. And even if maybe we're at a worse spot in our life, God still loves us. And so, Abe, my final question, which is maybe the biggest one for anybody to talk about today of any of our testimonies, is if somebody's here today and they haven't been loving God, but they realize, because of what you're saying, God loves them, what should they do?
Well, one of the things that they should do is pray about it, because that definitely helps. Even if you don't want to, there are also many ways, like talking to someone that you know has a good relationship with God, because that can definitely help.
Yeah. So we're going to pray in just a second, and I can pray or you can pray. I didn't tell you that before, so I'll let you think about it. So we're going to pray in this second and say, if you're one of those people, we'll kind of guide you in a prayer to say. And then we're doing a baptism at the end of service today, which I'm excited about. But yeah, so, and baptism is all about starting your journey with Jesus. And it's this ceremony that we do. We'll talk about it more in a second. But Carla is a lady who's going to be on stage talking about that baptism. And if you're looking for a good person to talk about who loves God, talk to Carla before you leave this room. If you're in that spot of like, I want to get started with this. So that's following Abe's direction. So you want me to pray or do you want to pray,
Abe? You can.
Okay. There you go. Look at how smooth that is. Like, Abe's, Jesus, I believe what Abe just said, that you love me. And Jesus, I've done things wrong. But Jesus, I want to accept your love. And Jesus, I want to give you my life because I need your love. I trust you. Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Gabe. That's awesome. So we're going to kind of rapid fire our testimony today. So we've heard from Abe, who's a fifth grader, and is doing awesome. And I want to talk about this next guy, Matt Miller. Matt, if you will come on up. And it's been a joy to get to know Matt these last, really, close to a couple years. And, you know, Matt's a couple decades older than Abe, which is still pretty young. But, you know, Matt, you're, I think, at 23 months of sobriety, if my math's right. Yeah. Praise Jesus for that. And, before we get into some of the story about Good Foundation, how things have gone for you, take me back to when you weren't sober, when bad decisions and other stuff, you're in a hospital, you're super sick. You know, Abe just told us about God's love. Tell us about an experience you had with God's love in the hospital.
My name's Matt. Good job, Abe. Tough act to follow. So I'm 37 now. When I was 35, I had a heart attack. I went into cardiac arrest. And, of course, this was caused by, in my 20s, my early 30s, just bad lifestyle, drinking and drugging, didn't have a relationship with God. And so I had a heart attack. I was in a coma for 9 days. And I can remember coming out of the coma, and I was with my mom in, like, mid-level ICU. And, you know, it's a very surreal place to be because, I mean, it's just hard to describe because I literally almost lost my life. And, you know, coming out of that, I'm just so grateful. You know, whether I had a relationship with God or not, I was just so grateful to be alive. And there was so much going on. I wasn't really with it. And I remember one of the nurses asked, you know, would you like to speak to a chaplain? You know, have like a religious clergyman or whatever come in, you know, and talk to you. I said, absolutely. So this guy came in. He came in a doctor's coat, but he took off his coat. He was actually a chaplain as well. And I can remember in that moment, like, I'm a firm believer that God works through people. And, excuse me. You know, when he came in, it was just something about his presence, you know what I mean? He, it was real calming. And, you know, he said, I'm just here to talk to you about your relationship with God. You know, you don't have to talk to me. I know you've been through some stuff. You know, you almost lost your life, and, you know, if you want to talk, I'm here. And I said, absolutely. And so, you know, I believe God put me on this earth for horrible analogies. And, you know, we talk about the woman in the well and her seeing Jesus. And, you know, at the time, I kind of feel like I was like that person. I was like that Samaritan. And this was God working through this chaplain. And, you know, he talked about, you know, my relationship with God. And, of course, I said, absolutely. You know, I don't want to die. You know what I mean? I don't want to go through this again. And so we prayed. And, I mean, it was emotional. It was strong. It was powerful. I like to kind of compare God's love to, like, resilience. You know, I really feel like that's the first time where I felt God's love and my relationship, like, you know, built with him. And the irony of the whole story is that this was in late August of 2018, and I didn't get sober till 2019. And so the interesting part is that that was when I first felt God in my life, and he was there. And, you know, I didn't change my life right away. You know what I mean? I didn't pursue my relationship with God right away. But I knew that, you know, he was there. You know what I mean? And I really felt it for the first time. And it was pretty powerful.
And so, wow, yeah. Matt learned what Abe told us, right? That God loves you even when you don't love him. And Matt experienced that in that hospital, but he didn't instantly change. And there's a lot of good folks in this room who God is using to help people change, right? And so about 23 months ago or so, you got connected with the Good Foundation, and things did start to change. And my guess is along the way, you had to do some things you didn't want to do, right? That's probably true. I'm just guessing, but...
Good guess.
Yeah. I mean, that's... Change gets worked out, right? You experience God's love, but you do have to change for your life to change, right? So you made some choices that probably required some patience, would be my guess, and some trust.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, before I came to the Good Foundation, before I had a relationship with God, you know, I was just a selfish person, you know what I mean? And I didn't live through God. I didn't live for God. And, you know, there's a lot of things that we don't want to do, whether you're in sobriety or not, whether you're in recovery or not, just in everyday life. And I've learned that, you know, I need to work through God as much as possible and just help people. And there's a program they do here. It's called Project Shine, where, you know, we get up real early, we go paint a school, and I think maybe I was like a year in sobriety. I can't remember. And, you know, somebody asked, you know, on a Saturday morning, I'm living in a recovery house with a couple guys, and, you know, hey, we're going to get up at 6, 7 a.m., we're going to pay to school, you know? Short answer, I'm being honest with you. No, I don't want to do that. You know what I mean? And I'm just being real. And, you know, it's a slow process in sobriety and building my relationship with God. And, you know, we say a prayer in one of our Sunday school classes. It's called the Overcomer's Prayer. And the last line is something like, you know, we overcome evil with good. And I believe that, like, you know, my first instinct, I didn't want to do that. You know, I didn't want to wake up and go pay to school. But I knew that I didn't want to live the way I was living anymore. And I knew that I wanted to build my relationship with God. And I knew I wanted to serve him and do the right thing. And it's almost like in that instance, you know, again, another horrible analogy, that good overcame the evil. It's like it's like God made me want to do that. You know what I mean? I wanted to do the right thing, and I felt good about doing it, and I was proud to do it. You know what I mean? I was confident to do it, and I was grateful. And it's almost like that part of me that didn't want to do it, you know, was so small and eventually just went away. You know what I mean? And so that's how a lot of things happen, I think, in sobriety, when I pray about it, when I meditate, and, you know, when I trust God.
That's awesome, Matt. And, you know, God gives you a new heart, and you're making those positive steps. You know, James talks about God giving us wisdom, and a piece of that is even compliance. You're complying with the good direction in your life, and that's opening up to the good things God's putting in your life. You also said this great word in there, important word, Eric Gossi will like it, of gratitude. So tell us about, you got lots of cool stories, but I know one of your stories is getting this car here recently, driving it home to the, stopping in the driveway. Tell us about gratitude in that moment.
So a few months ago, I got a car all on my own. Everything's in my name. I got my own insurance, and, you know, you know, it's, and I try to, you know, keep in contact with Jake as much as possible, whether things are going good or bad, ask for advice, direction, or just say, hey, this is going on. And, you know, who would ever thought you have a spiritual experience at the DMV? You know, God was helping me at the DMV. You know what I mean? I had to go there. I didn't have form blue A, so then I had to go to the courthouse and talk to Linda, who was having a horrible day, then go back to the DMV. You know, three trips to DMV, the courthouse, and... You know, never once did I feel ungrateful to do that. It's just, it's weird, it's funny. And I got home, And I would just sit in my driveway, and I just kind of lost it. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I feel like I don't deserve it. But, you know, God helped me. And I called Jake, and I was just like, you know, I'm just beyond grateful. You know what I mean? And to go from, you know, living a selfish life and almost dying to, you know, having my own car and you know, it, you know, even though I'm 37 and sometimes I think, well, I'm older and it kind of sucks because I'm in my late 30s and it's the first time I've ever done something that, you know, a quote unquote adult would do. But, you know, when I think about it and I pray about it, it's only God's will. You know what I mean? It's God's plan and that's how it was meant to work out. And so, you know, I try to be grateful as much as possible, you know, if it is sitting in my driveway, you know, in a new car, and it's like I want to share that blessing, and I want to give thanks, and, you know, when I get those spiritual experiences, man, they're indescribable, and, you know, I always got to remember that I got to be right with myself. I got to keep my house in order first, but once I do that, you know, I can spread God's love, you know, and I heard Abe talk about God's love, and that's very, very, very important, because you know, the way things are going on now and in the world, I just, you know, I think good can't overcome evil. You know what I mean? I have a lot of tattoos on my arm. Not a lot, but I have some tattoos on my arm. I used to get them because they were cool. You know, they didn't mean nothing. And I got a tattoo of sobriety right here on my arm that says love conquers because I believe that. You know, I really do. And it's hard. You know, I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. But I know God's love is always there, just like when I was in that hospital bed. And, you know, I didn't immediately turn around. I didn't immediately change my life. But, you know, when I came back and made that choice, you know, he was there. And, you know, it's a beautiful thing. You know what I mean?
So here's, I got to highlight. Yeah. Here's the reality in the room that I got to push on a little bit because we just were given something special is, it's easy to sit in a pew and hear Matt's story, what he just said, and to feel like you're further along. Like some people in the room feel that way, whether you say it out loud or not. But when was the last time you were at the DMV and you remember that Linda was having a bad day? Like, do you feel further along than Matt? You know, to realize, like, this guy's so grateful with what God's doing, he's noticing people when most of us would be just grumpy and upset, right? And we all need that dependency on God, that gratitude, right? Matt, man, thank you for sharing. You got more stories, but yeah. So, so here's the thing. This week, we got Thanksgiving coming up, and we're going to do the rest of our service a little bit family style, okay? So the way a good Thanksgiving works is people come and go, and nobody gets angry about it, right? We got a baptism to do still, and we got another testimony to do still, and it's 11:56. If you've got kids in the nursery after this baptism, like, go get your kids. If you want to come back in, you can. Like, we're not going to insult anybody. We're not going to be offended by it. The Chiefs have been super kind, and they're not playing until 3:30 today. Like, they're accommodating us, right? So, but if you got to go, like, it's a no-judgment zone, right? We're going to mercy triumphs over grace, okay? So you got to go, it's fine. But we're going to go ahead and do what we plan to do, right? And if you got to go, you got to go. It's okay. If you got kids, it's actually good to go. And so the nursery workers can get them. And then just bring the kids back in. It'd be good for them to see this stuff. So, oh, Connie says you got leeway. So if you got kids and you want to stay, you can. So it's very sweet. I was trying to take care of them, but they're sweet to us. So we're going to, since we got a little bit of leeway, we're going to do our baptism. How are you guys? We're going to do our baptism because they've been waiting. They expected us to be ready. So Brian, are you back there? Stephanie, are you guys ready? Okay, you guys come on down. I'm going to hand things off to Carla, and then Chuck, we will get to you in just a minute.
Hello, everybody. My name is Carla Rose, and my husband Brian and I do a baptism class here at Maywood, and we just When you decide that you want to take that step and follow Jesus, then one of the first things you do is you get baptized. And so we want to talk to you. We want to make sure you understand what you're doing because it's a very big decision in your life. So that is the step that Stephanie is taking today. This is Stephanie Rowe. Stephanie has been coming to Maywood for a while. She is a single mom of three kids. She's very busy and very tired a lot. But she is a wonderful young woman, and I really enjoyed visiting with her. She was not raised in a Christian home, but she always felt strongly she needed to go to church. Nobody else in her family did, but she did. And as she has grown into an adult and had children, she is feeling very strongly that she needs to be in church, and she wants to raise her children to know and love God. And so we had a wonderful conversation. One of the things that we talk about in our baptism class is how, as a follower of Jesus, you're expected to live from here on out. And these are the kinds of things we do. She had a question. She was always raised to believe that if you murdered someone, that was just it. You were going to go to hell and there was no redemption. And she asked me that. She says, what about people who kill other people? Is there no chance for them? And I said, oh, yes, there absolutely is still a chance for them. I mean, they will suffer the consequences here on earth, but God absolutely will forgive a murderer. And so that's what comes up in our classes. We don't just talk about just baptism. If you have questions about God and what we believe and all kinds of things. So that was a new thought for her. And so I just wanted to let you know that. So Stephanie is in Becca Watkins' small group. Becca. Stephanie really looks up to Becca and appreciates all that Becca has done, and she loves being in her small group. So Becca will be baptizing her, but Gabby Hodges is going to pray for her. Gabby is another influential lady in her life.
Thank you, Carlo. So what a blessing this is for both of them. I think this is the first time Becca has baptized someone. And it's just awesome that we're in a church that people that really impact your life can then baptize you. So that's awesome. So I'm going to pray for Stephanie. And Stephanie is newly engaged. She has wonderful children. She has three kids, and she's just amazing. So I'm going to pray a blessing over her life. God, I thank you for Stephanie and for her family. I pray for her children and for her marriage that's coming up. I thank you for her life, and I thank you that she has just really poured into Maywood and has never given up and just kept coming back. And I thank you for her, and it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
And it is awesome to be at Maywood, and I really like seeing Becca and others baptize people, because you guys in the room, you're the ones that Jesus uses for people to find new life, and it's cool to see that on display. So we've got one more testimony I was telling you about, and Chuck Donaldson is going to come on up. And no insult to Chuck, but Chuck may have been a Christian longer than Abe Gentry and Matt Miller have been alive together, would be my guess.
Yeah, I'm not in the fifth grade.
He's not in the fifth grade, yeah. And so Chuck, you somewhat recently retired, and you've been a Christian a really long time. So does that mean you're just kind of kicking back, cruising at this point in life?
Well, no. The answer is no. Actually, we feel like, my wife and I feel like we're more busy now than we've ever been. But let me just share a little bit about the retirement experience. 2 years ago, I decided to retire, and a couple months before retirement, it really became obvious to me that I'm a really social person at work. I'm the kind of guy that everybody came to talk about everything, work, their family life, everything. That, you know, how was that void going to be filled? And it was really a big concern for me. And then COVID hit, so we were isolated from everybody. And things really were a whole bunch different. I have been a Christian since I was 10 years old. So I knew the Lord and had a pretty good walk off and on. But it became obvious to me that there was a void in my life. So my prayer was, Lord, somehow fill that void because I do feel it. And then Daniel invited me, or somehow I got invited to be a part of the worship team. And I just want you to know, they will accept old men. So I was very grateful for that. And the worship team, we don't just practice music. Actually, that is the smallest part of what the worship team does. But there's a great time of prayer, but mostly there's worship. And to Daniel's leadership, he taught us how to sing our prayers, just whatever comes to your heart, to sing the prayer. And I'll just be honest with you, at first I was like, man, I don't know about this. It felt really strange to me. But the more and more we did it, the more connected I became with singing prayer and worshiping. And then it's funny how God uses things. Brian was in an industrial accident. And one night we all just said, hey, Brian just came out of surgery and we're going to go to the hospital and we're going to praise God and pray for Brian. I said, sure, I'm in. So we took off, we went to the hospital, and we're all in this hospital room. And Daniel's playing his guitar and we're singing our prayers. And singing became, and by the way, I don't apologize for crying. I'm an old man and old men can cry. The prayer became real worship, and the connectedness to everybody in that room became so real that I was hooked. And Daniel, I thank you, worship team. I thank you for allowing me to be a part of that. And as that continues, I would just tell you, God is so gracious that he has filled the void that I thought I was going to experience by clearly making it obvious to me that he's the most important thing. That I, you know, I worked hard every day. I spent a lot of time at work. I did all the things that you're supposed to do. And maybe my walk with him was lacking just a little bit. But now he's allowed me to be in prayer and worship and to be so grateful and thankful for the things around me that it's not that I didn't know that before, but I really never acknowledged it. So it has been such a blessing. And I know you're going to ask me another question, but I'm going to answer it before you do. Jake said he was going to answer the question, how has God been real to you lately? And here's for the crying, because I am so grateful when I see the front row, front two rows, praising when we come in this room. So grateful when I see Kyle praising, and when I see people in the back holding their hands up with genuinely praising God. It means so much to me. But the thing he's brought to my attention the most is how grateful I should be for the blessings he's bestowed upon me all throughout my life. Good and bad things have happened that haven't been so good sometimes, but things that happened that have been so good. And recently, my wife and I were able to go on a vacation, and God just spoke to me and said, how blessed you are to get to hold your wife's hand. But here's the deal. I don't want to leave it there. This is what I want to say to you all. Don't wait till you retire to do that, because he's available. You can praise and worship him in your work, in your everyday living. You guys have the opportunity to see things that are good and great, and even the bad things. I had a person tell me one time, her son was diagnosed with cancer, and he was about to die. And she says, God's given me one more opportunity to be at the feet of Jesus, to pray for him. I had never looked at it like that before. Anytime we get to be in front of the Lord, take that as a blessing. I love this church. I love the things that are happening here. And just praise God.
Thank you, Chuck. Chuck gives us this great example of somebody who's able to say, I've got a void in my life. Even though there's a lot of things on the outside people will see as successful, he's able to say, Jesus, will you fill a part of my heart that doesn't feel full? And then he walked into all those new experiences and let Jesus fill him up. And I just think, what we saw from Abe and Matt and Chuck, we saw a lot of examples of Jesus being real in people's lives. I'm going to share three verses real quickly and a final thought. Here's what the Samaritan town says. So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they urged Jesus to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. The next verse. And because of Jesus' words, many more became believers. Then verse 42. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. And here's the last line for us today. We'll go to this next slide. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that Jesus really is the Savior of the world. Because here's the thing. For you today, if all that's happened is you saw Stephanie show this example of her new life in baptism, if you saw Abe and Matt and Chuck, you've seen a lot. Like, you've seen enough to take some steps, but you need to experience Jesus yourself. Don't leave this room without saying, Jesus, I want you to fill a void for me. Or Jesus, teach me about God's love. Or Jesus, help me to do the things I don't want to do so I can have gratitude for the things you're going to put in my life, right? Until you start experiencing Jesus, right? Thank you, guys. So awesome to be at Maywood today. Thank you, guys, for sticking around. And I'm going to pray us out, okay? Let's pray. Jesus, we need you. And Jesus, we have you. I thank you so much for that. Thank you for your grace at Maywood. And I pray for us to do more and more in response to your love. It's in your name we pray. Amen.